Talk about the inner life, then later we'll see what we can do. The life of a sadhaka is not an easy life, because whether you live a life of a sadhu or you live a life of a grihastha, certain conflicts one has to resolve. There are certain things which are in your conscious mind. So that you can learn to manage very, I mean, I won't say easy, but it is easier. What is in the unconscious is what we don't know. It's a model, a psychological model. You either follow a psychological model or you follow our karma model. So what is in your prarabdha karma, we don't know. What is in your unconscious mind also you don't know. Both you don't know. Another model it is. Unconscious is uncanny. It is something like Ishvara. I want to tell you something about the inner life of a person, just a person. I know this person. So this person was in the West, and attended one of my talks, just one talk. At the end of the talk, came to me and said, so I am at the tether end of my life and I don't think I can live anymore and therefore I'm in great pain and I would like to come and learn to have you know, what you're talking about, this freedom. I want to learn this freedom. And I said, okay. And then the person came. When this person came, well, then the person was interested in learning, very highly committed. And then I saw the person having morning one problem, evening another problem. And these problems are all concentrated on the teaching itself. But it is not exactly the teaching. It is the person's understanding of the teaching. The understanding is conditioned by the person's own subjectivity, the inner life. And therefore, there is always confusion. There is no resolution of anything. You thought you resolved and again there is a problem. And that is resolved, there is again problem, pages are written. And one day it's very good, and another day it's not. Morning it's good, evening it's not. And I know that this person has a lot of pain, whatever it is. So I was going to come here. Then I said that it's not, this person was going back, and I said, please don't come back, because I won't be here. And you have to talk to that, you give up your idea of putting an end to your life. That's not proper. You've got so much to learn, and therefore, so go back and talk to somebody. Talk to a therapist person. Talk. That person said, no, I'm going to come back. Then I said, no, and then afterwards, then the person came back. Even before I left, came back. So came back, there's nothing we could do about it. Okay, because they say otherwise I would die. So it became a sort of, all right, I just allowed this person, okay, The person said, even in your absence I can grow here, therefore I'd like to be here and I will do some work. Okay, we allow, I allow, and then came back here. Then this person asked me whether I can talk to, I can talk to the same thing, what I was talking to you, can I talk to? The other swami, Nitatmananda, was coming there, so I said, sure, I can talk. Okay, the person talked, this is an important thing all of you should know. And the person talked to this Swamiji also and all that. And then when I went back, in between the person was ill, and then when I went back, then got well, and then when I went back, the person appeared, previously used to appear in usual, you know, Western clothes. And then the person appeared in pure white. Then came to me and said, I thought that's another problem. Then said, I'm not going to wear anything else. I'm going to wear only pure white. I said, why? You need not wear pure white. You can wear anything. It's fine. You can wear white. You can wear anything, whatever you want. It's fine. Just I told this simple. I was not against wearing white. But that agenda, I didn't like that. So, that I'm going to wear only white. So why that rule? And there is no necessity for that, and you can wear whatever you want. There's nothing wrong in wearing white. I'm just telling. So nothing wrong, and then need not wear white all the time. Just I said this. Thinking that there's a problem. Wearing white is fine. But then, if there's a problem, it's a thing to be pointed out. Therefore I said that there seems, it comes from some other source. It's not just to be simple, but it is more than simple. And then I thought that, when I told this, this person had, what we call a flashback. Understand? You know what a flashback is? A flashback is a scene you see in your mind projected by the unconscious. So the unconscious is not an ordinary thing, it's not a dumb thing, it's a very intelligent being. Jung goes ecstatic about it. It's uncanny. It is a savior, and also it's a great nuisance later. It's a survival mechanism that the human being is endowed with. And because of this survival mechanism, so what does it do? A child cannot handle pain. And it cannot handle pain. You will find a child is crying. When it is crying, then if you watch, suddenly the child will laugh. An adult cannot do that. The child will laugh. And the whole thing is forgotten. Do you know why it's forgotten? Because it cannot handle pain. Therefore, it goes and it's screened away from the person's consciousness, the ego. So that becomes the flip side, first in the form of feelings, even as a first year old, second year old, this is what we call the core age. Then that becomes the other side of your conscious ego. And that mechanism is meant for the survival of the person. It's meant purely for the survival of the person. And that you cannot live your entire life as a survivor. You survive for accomplishing something. So the child has this side, the flip side. So this full of these pains, and the pains are always connected to episodes, varieties of episodes. These episodes and pain are there as it is. If there was a physical pain, and that is also a part of the episode, it's kept in the unconscious. And therefore what happens when the system, that is the unconscious, decides, it's an intelligent thing, an uncanny thing. when it can relax, when it can trust. If the child is abused and abused repeatedly, then what happens? The unconscious stores all these episodes and kept away from the child. The child doesn't remember anything at all. If you ask people to write their biographies, they cannot write much. They say everything was okay. If everything was okay, was if there is a certain problem, and my childhood is all okay, the problems are all now. Not now. It's always from inside. And therefore they say they are okay. It's exactly like when the Swami comes to the house, somebody's house I go. Then if the living room is full of junk, do you know what they do? They put all this junk in one corner and put a nice piece of cloth on the top of it and put some flower vases. Only to keep from your sight the junk. That's exactly the child does also. So my mother was wonderful, my father was wonderful, all these ideas, flower vase. But then inside, it's not the father was bad or mother was bad. In the child's perception, I'm not wanted, I'm not loved, I'm not needed, and something wrong with me. So the something wrong with me is a very basic feeling. Understand? This is a psychological situation. There is a metaphysical problem, that is another problem, that is adhyasa. This is a further adhyasa I'm telling. So this is, I'm not all right, the child's feeling. So that I am not all right becomes a part of the unconscious also, along with these episodes. Otherwise, why my mother should not... Mother means mother is hero, heroine, and father is hero. There's nobody else for the child, helpless. And so anything they say or anything they do or they omit to do, so all these become the part of the unconscious. And that is kept. And you find that it is just creating problems. Because it is you, it is ego. And therefore it cannot trust. And therefore if it trusts, if there is anything shown, any kind of care shown, then immediately, so there is what we call a huge, what we say, transference. All that you wanted in your father, in your mother, all these get transferred to that person. And then you see that person as one who is someone who is more than what that person is. This is what we call positive transference. Understand? I'm using psychological language. Okay? So better understand that psychology of it, because we're talking of inner life. And therefore, so this is what we call positive transference. This positive transference is that you paint the person in such glowing colors, even though that person cannot fulfill all those colors, you know, doesn't have all those colors. But then you paint the person in glowing colors, the colors with which, I mean more than what that person is. And therefore what happens is, then easily that person is going to discover later that this is not the person. Therefore, so any kind of intimacy becomes a problem. Means care even problem. Any friendship becomes a problem. Any kind of friendship cannot last for so more than a few days because it's a problem. So all this is exactly these are the outcome of a loaded unconscious. This is the outcome. Therefore, you begin searching for something. That's why the spiritual search itself begins because of that. I told you, the pain is the part of the spiritual search. If the abuse is too much, then either you go spiritual or you go out of the way. Understand? Therefore, the person, whatever that person is, that person is not, even though that person, suppose there is a person who commits stealing, and or the person who does smuggling, or whatever, so things that they do. So these things, I tell you, are not, they are not bad people or anything. And so there is some pain underneath, and that is why, so they have to do things which are generally, which are out of what we call the way, like stealing, like hurting, like even killing, etc. And serial killers and all that, we have got all these psychopaths and whatnot. So all these are not bad people. Honestly, the society has not found enough leisure as well as machinery to take care of the people. Therefore you create jails. That's all what you do. Because you cannot take care of these people, spot the people when they are young, and then process the whole thing, can be processed. And but that there is no machinery for it. Slowly they are discovering, I don't think it will ever pass, it should be possible. And what happens is, therefore, so this kind of things go on. Then when they really discover somebody whom they can trust, then what happens? All that is in the unconscious comes out. Now when it comes out, I didn't know any of these things. I had no idea because this is something that I learned by sometimes mostly by talking to people and in the process I learned, and sometimes here and there I read a book. Now to understand, to help the person to understand, I read some books, etc., so that I know something. Now what happens is, here is, because I told, I can accept you in any types of clothes that you wear, and you come, still I accept you, there is no problem. And when it is told that there is some kind of a trust is formed. Once the trust is there, then afterwards from the unconscious, so comes up a big bhutam, and that is what I say, this big, what we call, this unconscious things, this is the time to release. Because it cannot be there. It was meant for survival. And therefore it has got to release it. And therefore it releases at one point, a particular episode, it is a flashback. Now, if you tell these flashbacks, you can't handle all this, okay? And therefore, I don't know how much you can handle. But these flashbacks, each one of them, is something that is gruesome. It's not ordinary. It's gruesome, and this flashback, what has happened, the parents belong to a cult of devil worshippers. The cult. So they belong to a cult. This is what we call ritual abuse. So this ritual abuse, not one person, there are thousands of people who suffer from this ritual abuse. This ritual abuse is from childhood, it happens. So this abuse in 100 different ways. As a baby it starts. Killing also is a part of it. Sacrificing, part of it. Human flesh eating is a part of it. So all these are all part of this, and then beating and making the child that it cannot do it, all that is a part of the whole thing. All these are there in the unconscious. It never released, I tell you, it's never released. One flashback is released. Then afterwards, it's completely forgotten. It's completely forgotten. At the time of flashback, there is so much pain comes out. At that time, if there was a stomach pain, there is stomach pain. If there was a back pain, there is back pain. There is no new back pain. It is an old stomach back pain, and it is a back pain. And this, all that, they used to put this child in certain contraptions to punish the child because it doesn't do. So they want to destroy the ego. Therefore, what does this unconscious do? Look at this amazing thing. Now, I always used to wonder, I will come to that later, is what I wonder. Now, when this happens, when this particular thing happens, you know, the contraptions, etc., that those pains will be there. What does this unconscious do? It can do this. It can create a new ego. For every what you call the difficult thing, or every job, a particular job, painful job, a new person is created. Because the person, same person cannot take the whole thing. Therefore, the ego is split into another person. And this is another person. this person has a name, this person has got a form, this person has a language, way of talking, and everything is different, attitude, everything is different, appropriate to the occasion. And then again another person, and another person. Thus you have in yourself 100 personalities or more personalities inside. Each one is entirely different. The person is absolutely same. In fact, the sanest person is that person I have seen. There is one person who is central, who knows most of the thing. And then all others do not know. Even each other in the beginning they don't know. Some they know each other, some they don't know. So all things, they do the jobs and at the time. And then only one job, for one job there is a person. A series of jobs, similar job there is a person. There is a person to keep the anger, there is a person to keep the pain, there is a person to steal, there is a person to be in the street, there is a person to have drugs, there is a person to have alcohol, there is a person, like this there are persons and persons, male and female both, whether you are a male or female. Because all these emotions everybody has. So there is a male emotion, there is a female emotion, all these emotions everybody has. But here it is all confined to one ego. Each one is different. Then, so this was not known to this person, but they only knew there is a person to talk to the world, and that person alone comes to talk to the world. And this person always thought there was a person going to the school, MIT. There was a person going to the school, means MIT, they did a course there, and that person who went to the school is entirely a different person. There is a person to remember, and that is uncanny remembrance. So the remembrance means not ordinary memory. It's like a computer memory. Any number, once you say that's there, that person's job is only to remember. And this person goes to school, and the school person, the student, is a different person, studies, and the one who talks and one who is transacting business with the world, that person is entirely different. And therefore, this person thought, so in the process, so it was discovered later that there are many. And this is what they call multiples. And then when you say this multiples, see this multiple, the MPD, they say, multiple personality disorder. So MPD, this when there are these multiples are there, multiples are the sanest people. Why? Because each emotion is confined. If all of them together, they cannot live. They will be a problem. Therefore, what happens? So then when it was processed, then when began talking, etc., and then slowly, so each one was introduced to the other, and then one by one came out and began talking, and still they are coming out and talking. And that's so, when they've been talking, and then the person has to be told, the others have to accept, and they have an assembly like, each one has got a room, each one has got a house, the whole thing. Then, so when I said, this person who is to talk, you know, to the professor, this person talks, and this person taught, these professors are all dumb. Why? Because they get convinced, I just blabber, and they get convinced. Because this person who talks doesn't know what the person talks, it is the other person gives the words and the person only pronounces. Look at this. And therefore, so this person thought the other person is a dumb person. In fact, the sanest person is that person I have seen. There is one person who is central, who knows most of the things. And then all others do not know. Even each other in the beginning they don't know. Some they know each other, some they don't know. So all things, they do the jobs and at the time, and then only one job, for one job there is a person, a series of jobs, similar job there is a person, there is a person to keep the anger, there is a person to keep the pain, there is a person to steal, there is a person to be in the street, there is a person to have drugs, there is a person to have alcohol, there is a person, like this there are persons and persons, male and female both, whether you are a male or female. Because all these emotions everybody has. So there is a male emotion, there is a female emotion. All these emotions everybody has. But here it is all confined to one ego. Each one is different. Then, so this, This is sad. This was not known to this. But they only knew there is a person to talk to the world. And that person alone comes to talk to the world. And this person always thought there was a person going to the school, MIT. There was a person going to the school, means MIT, that they did a course there. And that person who went to the school is entirely a different person. There is a person to remember, and that is uncanny remembrance. So the remembrance means not ordinary memory. It's like a computer memory. Any number he wants to say that's there, that person's job is only to remember. And this person goes to school, and the school person, the student, is a different person, studies, and the one who talks and one who is transacting business with the world, that person is entirely different. And therefore, this person thought, so in the process, so it was discovered later that there are many. And this is what they call multiples. And then when you say this multiples, see this multiple, the MPD, they say, multiple personality disorder. So MPD, this when there are, these multiples are there. Multiples are the sanest people. Why? Because each emotion is confined. If all of them together, they cannot live. They will be a problem. Therefore, what happens? So then when it was processed, then began talking, etc., and then slowly, so each one was introduced to the other, and then one by one came out and began talking, and still they are coming out and talking. And that's, so when they've been talking, and then the person has to be told, the others have to accept, and they have an assembly like, each one has got a room, each one has got a house, the whole thing. Then, so when I said, this person who used to talk, you know, to the professor, this person talks, and this person thought, these professors are all dumb. Why? Because they get convinced, I just blabber, and they get convinced. Because this person who talks doesn't know what the person talks, it is the other person gives the words, and the person only pronounces. Look at this. And therefore, so this person thought the other person is a dumb person. Is a person who doesn't know anything at all, the professor doesn't know anything at all. Then I had to tell, I say, it's not you. It's you talk of the words of the other person. Then I call the other person, and the other person says, yes, that is true. That person says, oh, I never knew. Like this, so we integrate them. You bring them all together, make them understand, etc. What I say, this is another order of reality. What is this? This is Pradibhasikam. It is Vyavaharikam. It is not Pradibhasika. Because they do transaction with the empirical world. So they cannot say they are Pradibhasika. We cannot say Vyavaharika because there are too many people, only one body is there. The body time has to be shared by all these people. They only knew that they were missing time. They didn't know anything about this. They didn't know that they had these multiple personalities. Before it's confusion. That's why it became painful. And therefore, in the Mandukya, we have Nantas Prajnam, Na Bahish Prajnam, Na Ubhayata Prajnam, Na Aprajnam. So, Na Prajnanaganam, Na Prajnam, Na, like this, Na Prajnam Ityadi. So, we have, there is one mention. Three, there is a Anta Prajna. So, Anta Prajna. Anta Prajna means the one subjective. The one who is conscious and subjectively conscious. And Bahish Prajna. The one who is objectively conscious. And then afterwards, then Prajnana Ghana, the one who is sleep conscious. And then in between, so here, before the Prajnana Ghana, it is told. The Nanta Prajnam, I always used to wonder why this Ubhayata Prajnam here, Nanta Prajnam, Nabahish Prajnam, now Ubhayata Prajnam. Means it is subjective, it is objective. Both it is. It is subjective from one standpoint, it is objective from another standpoint. Understand? So this, from this, what do you understand? Here, that the release here, the person, the whole, then the release of these flashbacks, so was constant, one after the other. You make the person talk, you make the person write, you make the person draw. So at the time when it takes place, it's a very painful thing. The person is in writhing pain and cries, and whole body is painful because that is exactly at that time is a body memory. And therefore, so all these are real. At that time they are real. But then, so this whole thing happens, then afterwards the system, the unconscious, decides enough. And then again covers it. Avaranam, vikshepam. I find all these avarana vikshepa in reality I saw. The avarana vikshepa, I see this, just reality. This is something amazing that the immediate avarana. And afterwards, the person didn't know that the person had so much pain. You had to point out you did have pain. And there is one central person among them. And that central person says, so there is a person who underwent. And that person says that, did I undergo pain? I said, yes. I don't think so. I think I make it up. You know. Then you have to convince that there was pain, it is covered, etc. But still, it's very difficult for them to believe because, so that they don't have memory. So until it becomes a conscious memory, so there cannot be integration. So only pain is released, more and more released in this way, then alone. First, the pain was only 5 minutes. Then the flashback pain will be 5 minutes, it's gone. Then 1 hour, gone. Then 1 day, whole day, then it's gone. Now it remains like that whole day. Then it's gone. It means so much pain is released. Understand this? From this you must know that there is this unconscious. So you don't require to be multiple to understand the unconscious. In fact, there, so this, it is clear. The varieties of emotions people have, all this become very clear. They don't go away. Whether you become a sadhu or you are a sadhu, the things what is in the unconscious doesn't go away. You always, it can occur. It can occur after 70 years, it can occur. It can occur at any time. So this flashback is something that can happen. But people who had no such big child abuse, etc., so generally don't have, they have a clear unconscious, a silent unconscious with some simple problem, which can cause. But some can have for no fault of the people, they can have an unconscious wherein there is this pain that is there. And therefore, the bet is always, it's good that you can always, one need not think that I have a heavy unconscious, one need not think that I have a clear unconscious. Both are wrong. I'm telling you, both are wrong. I was proved wrong in my own life, I know, and it is not that your unconscious is something that is completely clean, or it is something that is loaded. Both you cannot say. But one thing I can tell, that when there is an extra anger, in somebody said something and you cannot handle it, therefore you must understand that is my vulnerability. What you call vulnerability is in the unconscious. Understand? It is a vulnerability. And therefore, when I get angry, so in a situation where that doesn't warrant anger, then there is a vulnerability. And therefore, so there are areas of vulnerability that it is something that one has to deal with. If you are lucky, you don't have a big program in unconscious, programming in unconscious, then you are very lucky. I'm telling you are very lucky. You are a blessed person. If you had pains are there, you must keep your fingers crossed. And then when they come, you have got to deal with them. How do you deal with them? It's a different thing. But it is one has to deal with. Well, so this what I say, this vulnerability is something that one has to find out which area I am vulnerable. I'm telling this, so this is at least the conscious we can take care of. So the conscious alone we can take care of. Leave the, and because you don't know anything about it. And therefore we need not bother, but we should know. We can't be dumb. We have to know. And therefore, so this is, we may call it prarabdha. It's another model. It is a prarabdha. Some prarabdha that brings. Another model. Prarabdha is Ishvara. Prarabdha is law. Prarabdha is unconscious, also is prarabdha. Really speaking, That is what the prarabdha is really. It's all in the unconscious. Just to unfold itself. Where is the karma stored? All your karma is stored where? It is in the unconscious. Where else it can be stored? And therefore, so understand this, that without being judgmental about anybody. So this is very important. The more you understand, then the more sympathetic you would be to people, to the people who are around you. It is, you can be very sympathetic and understanding. It is very important. Even suppose somebody reacts little more than what the situation warrants, well, that is due to this problem. We must understand. And therefore, if you understand that this is what I said, the bigger picture, that bigger picture is to just recognize the person's own unconscious, and therefore, so we need not be judgmental. Judgment is necessary in living your life. You cannot but judge. Judgmental is to make a conclusion about the person, that this person is like this, that person is like this. Very dangerous. Very dangerous, because every person is more than what you conclude. And therefore, so this, that not to be judgmental is the best way of dealing with your own reactions. Understand? You react all right, and whatever that a judgment means, then it is very difficult to contact that person. Understand? Afterwards, you can't have a clean heart to contact the person, to talk to the person, because you already judged. Therefore, I would say, you can be anything, but if you are non-judgmental, I would say you are a saintly person. As long as you are non-judgmental about others, you just try to understand yourself being non-judgmental. So that is the inner life I would advise to anybody, because that is the only thing that can help you maintain your peace, your composure, etc. And you don't require to judge people. Judging is different from being judgmental. Judging is only for temporary judgment, just for the time being. So this is what should I say? What exactly? That is a simple judging. But judgmental is different. So you brand a person. You brand a person with a name, and that is a very dangerous thing. And therefore, without being judgmental, so if one can live one's inner life, then the external life becomes easier for him. The external life becomes easier, because then any expressions, etc., well, your own expression also. If you are judgmental, your expression will be different. If you are non-judgmental, your expression will be saralam. It is a friendly, it's simple, it's understanding, it's helpful to each other. When we live, so a few people live together, then we can practice this very well. Without being judgmental, so if you can just deal with people, you'll find that you are in touch with people. You relate to people. You are in touch with each person. Why? Because you're non-judgmental. If you're judgmental, you are in touch with your own person. The person that is subjectivity it is. Understand? So that judgmental means then you are in touch with the person. You don't know the person at all. It's very difficult to know the person. But then, if you're judgmental, you think you know. So by an action or anything, you cannot judge a person. And therefore, so without being judgmental, if you relate to people, you find that you are in touch with people. In fact, it is helpful. Each one helps each other. Then you can help the other person, the other person helps you. So this way, you will find that there is amity, there is harmony, there is understanding. Together, we grow. Understand? So if one is not superior or inferior, so together we grow. In this area, everybody has to grow. Understand? So the other is, I would say, so this is something that you will have to discover later. No matter what I think, what I do, no matter what limitation the physical body has, what limitation the mind has, means no matter, still you are a free person. Understand? That is something one has to discover. And that akarta, abhokta, that is a reality. Is the reality it is, you are a free person. That is, again, non-judgmental. Understand now? So you don't judge yourself also. So on the basis of your mind or on the basis of the body. Understand? That is Vedanta. Vedanta, we don't say you are perfect or imperfect. We say the physical body has its limitations. Who says it doesn't have? The mind has its limitations. So if anybody says, I have no limitations, you talk to him in French. That's over. And therefore, it's a silly thing. The mind has its limitations, the physical body has its limitations. But one thing I tell you are limitless. That is Vedanta. And if that you understand, everybody is that way. Who is not limitless, tell me. Everybody is limitless. Everybody is the same. Then why judge? Why do you judge anybody? And therefore, you are limitless. That is Vedanta. The I am limitless no matter what my mind is, what my body is. But still, so to have that composure, that peace, etc., you must have mind which you understand well. Understand? That is a process which you have to go through. It can be, you know, the conscious alone you can go through. And the unconscious, if it is going to produce something after 55 years or 65 years, well, you have to deal with that. Understand? That's okay. But then, this is Vedanta, you are free. I am free. Understand, I am ill. I am not well. Nothing is all right with me. He is the conclusion of the samsari, and that is the conclusion, and from there you proceed. If you go to psychotherapy, they start with that you are not well. You should get well. That is what we call the conclusion. This is what we say, a paradigm with which you operate. So I am not well is the basis from where you work. When you say I am not well is the basis for you to work, then I am not always well. The basic conclusion. So that is against what Vedanta is. The paradigm is I am free. Understand? I am free. And what I have, then what is the problem? I have certain inhibiting factors. That freedom is enjoyed by me. Okay? That freedom is to be enjoyed by me. I know I am free, but I don't enjoy the freedom. Well, if you don't enjoy the freedom, then perhaps there are some inhibiting factors. One of the inhibiting factors is avaranam still. Then another inhibiting factor is vikshepa. So that vikshepa can be from unconscious. Understand? Or conscious. And that one has to take care of. That's a lifelong job it is really. And therefore, so one is avarana, the other is the vikshepa. So these are the three things we can own. Avarana, vikshepa, and what we say, malam. It's not necessary. Malam is not necessary. Avarana and vikshepa, two is enough. So this avarana vikshepa is good enough. So the avarana vikshepa is, one is avarana, the other is vikshepa, the projections, etc. So as we clear the avarana, so still what we say, the projections can come from inside. And therefore that has nothing to do with your knowledge, with your cognition or anything. But one thing, you know, if you learn how to judge, how to avoid self-judgment, and whether this man knows, I know myself, need not judge. I don't know myself also is not correct. After listening to all this, you can't say, I don't know myself. Suppose I say, do you know yourself? Ask a question. Tell me, do you know yourself or not? You tell me. What do you say? Huh? What do you say? Do you know yourself or not? You say, I don't know? You can't say it. Honestly, I'm telling you, can't say it. Even if you say it, I won't accept it. You cannot say it. You can't say that I don't know myself. After exposing to the teaching for a length of time like this, there is no way you can say, I don't know myself. I have never told you that you would be like this. I have always been talking consistently that you are free. Not talking. So unfolding that you are free. So this, there's no way of avoiding that. It's just impossible to say that I don't know. So when you cannot say I don't know, But still, Swamiji, still, okay. So you are in the process. Therefore, enjoy the process, please. Enjoy the process, and that's how it is, you are in the process. And there is nothing, whether you take to your life this way or that way, it doesn't matter, you are in the process. Just because you become a sadhu, you are not going to become free from these things. And therefore, you have got to be, you should enjoy the process, no matter what your lifestyle is, you have to enjoy the process. It's a continuous process. Neither you can say, I know, nor I can say, I don't know. Therefore, so you have to, I know means you don't know. So I don't know. That is not that metaphysical thing I'm telling. Not metaphysical. I'm talking simply just from your own standpoint. And that is, it's you. After all, it's you. Therefore, there in the Kena Upanishad, what was said, so, naham manye suvedeti, nona vedeti vedacha. So that sentence is not an ordinary sentence, it is. So at different levels, we can talk about the same sentence. That therefore, you cannot say that I don't know, at the same time, so you need not say that I know. What should you say? There is no necessity. Therefore, the process. It is a process that is what we call the inner life, that process, you know, always they're exploring and being honest to yourself. So exploring without being judgmental, without being harsh on yourself, that I don't think I can understand. Suppose you find that the grammar sometimes can be very difficult. And the difficulty in grammar is not because you don't understand. The understanding is not a problem. It is remembrance. The problem. Memory is the problem. You have to memorize. You have to remember. Therefore, just because you don't remember, that doesn't mean you are incapable of understanding. Understand? Some people are used to memorize. Some people are not used to memorize. Simple as that. That's all what it is. Honestly, that's how I relate. Suppose you have finished your course, 3-year course, then afterwards you come to me and then I see that you don't know Sanskrit, I don't make any judgment on that. I don't consider that this person is a bad student either. Honestly, I don't consider. I've got a lot of my students who don't know Sanskrit. They still do the course all right. Even Sandhi is a problem. Lot of. But I don't consider them as bad students, no. And therefore, please understand, it's because some people have difficulty in understanding, the remembering the language, etc. It's a little difficult. But you keep trying and enjoy the process of trying, that without being judgmental, I am no good. This is an important thing, because I cannot judge myself. I cannot judge myself that I am no good. Then if you judge yourself no good, you are going against the very pursuit. Not right. Therefore, nor you judge others, they are not good. Okay. So, and therefore, another thing, you know, this to be sensitive to others' needs, others' sensibility, and then that's a very important thing. And then time, see, is a great service that you can do, is to allow the person to have his time. Don't destroy others' time. This is a very important thing. You know, you can give this donation of that time, you know, donation of that time. So, without, just allow the person to have his own, her own time. And then, so you don't really, I see the groups of people sitting and talking and things like that. So, I'm not against anything, but at the same time, I find that sometimes it's maybe a necessity, sometimes it is meaningless, very frivolous, and joking and talking, etc. Even though it's nice to be cheerful, but it need not be jocular, and one need not clown around also. So the clowning around and being very jocular, it hurts sometimes people. You use words, and those words jocularly, you say, I was jocular. But you may say you are jocular. Others don't take it jocularly. They don't take it as a joke. And because they think that you are a serious person, you know. They only make a statement. And therefore it's a problem. So the other person thinks that you are not making a joke. And jokes also can be, have to be have to be something that can be said, but not anywhere at the cost of any other person's, what you call, so image or whatever, the fool. So that kind of consideration for this time and others, respect to the person's sensitivity and transact, and then it's a, and only it is, it's something that you find that the whole living here is a growth. Otherwise it becomes, you know, you have to cover your eyes. So this way and that way, you have to go straight, this, look at this, no, it becomes a problem. This frivolous, making comments, etc., is all very frivolous. So without being frivolous, at the same time, they're not becoming a zombies, you know. I'm a spiritual person. I'm not committed to that. I don't create that kind of a feeling to anybody, I suppose. So that sort of a thing also doesn't help. And therefore, so just being yourself, and at the same time, cheerful enough to have a good word to somebody, and ready enough to have a sympathetic word, etc. Because so this kind of emotional upheavals will always be there, because you are trying to become Brahman. That's the problem. The agenda is very big. Understand, this pursuit is not ordinary. And the people used to, that is why Vishwamitra, etc., so spent, you know, ages in it's all said, whether they spent ages or not. But why he stole? Because you are trying to this the puny little creature, so he's trying to, with a pokey little mind, so he's trying to say that I am the whole. He's trying to say I am the whole. What, you are the whole? How you are the whole? It's a silly thing. And this is how it is. So therefore, it's not an ordinary thing. Just to make a million rupees is a problem. It's nothing. But to make a million rupees, it's nothing. Rob a bank, you get million rupees. But it's not easy. It's nothing. But, you know, this is all nothing. This, for this, it's such a big thing it is. So to make some money is a big thing. To get some power is a big thing. So these are all very big things. People dedicate their lives for that. That's fine. That is ephemeral. You get elected and 4 years afterwards you are gone. Bush gets pushed. So this is what happens. And Clinton clinches the whole thing. And so what I say, that is a wishful thinking, okay? So what I say, so this is a, this is how the power is. That's what the power is about. It's nothing. So for that, so much dedication, it's a life dedication. And here is all nothing ephemeral. But you are now ephemeral when I say, it's not a judgmental word, understand. You understand that word, don't repeat the word ephemeral or anything. You know, that's a very dangerous word it is. Ephemeral is all ephemeral. I don't say, what I say, this, the power has its limitation. It's a very, it's not a big thing, but it is a big thing. It takes one's lifetime for that. It takes so much of maneuvering. It takes so much of money. It takes so much of your energy, time, etc. Just to get the power. Then to maintain it is a problem. And therefore what I say, and in spite of all your efforts to maintain it, it's gone. Or you are gone. Say either way, a bullet gets you. So varieties of, or a heart attack or whatever, the fellow is gone. So what I say, so this is the nature. And this is the nature. Now I'm telling you are Brahman. Shastra tells you are Brahman. So you're in for, so what we call the highest, and for which naturally so one has to keep processing one's own mind and one's understanding. It's a whole beautiful, it's a beautiful process, it's a pleasant process, and therefore so it's important that so we don't conclude, because it's a big thing it is, and but it's a simple thing because it's you, and it's a big thing because it's understanding that I am everything. I'm Brahman. So it's where you are free, absolutely free. Neither nadveshti. Free means understand. there is no judgment at all about the self. So that is freedom. There is nothing to do body, mind, sense, action. It has something to do with yourself, the basic person. That is Vedanta, that is the truth. And therefore, so that really, really takes its own time, and let it take its own time. You can't say, I don't know. That's good enough. You know? You can't say, I don't know. Even now, one more year, you will never be able to say that. You can never say, I don't know. Then afterwards, let it take its own course. So that's it. Inner life, okay? Outer life also, I think I told. Be non-judgmental. Don't be frivolous, I won't say. The frivolous life doesn't help. And very serious, tense life will not help. You know, that doesn't help. So to be thinking, the balance is not an ordinary thing. And therefore, one has to enjoy the process. That's it. Then one helps others. Therefore you find it's a very beautiful place. Place is beautiful. We always say place is beautiful. Really, place is beautiful. In fact, the people make the place. You know, this place, people are beautiful because they enjoy the process and respect for each other and being non-judgmental. Just enjoy. Okay? ॐ तत्सत् ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्तिः 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 ॐ सत्सत्